This is But Why, though, once again, speaking live from San Diego Comic-Con 2023, and we are so honored to have with us acclaimed showrunner, writer, Keto Shimizu. Keto, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderfully. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. If you're able to talk about it as a WGA member, I actually want to ask about shows you've written and showran that may have been canceled in the last few years or so. I'm just wondering, this is something that I think a lot of fans have questions about regarding canceled shows and such and deals with the studios. Do you think that if there were better guarantees from the studios, your work could have continued in any sort of capacity?
I can't speak to that specifically, but I will say a lot of what happened to the particular network that I was working with is really a result of, these larger consolidations that have been happening all around our industry. And that network, was bought. And the goals and the priorities of that network changed with that change of ownership. And it really required a new direction from what that network had been doing for, a decade plus with the sorts of programming that I was involved in. So, I think what's happening now with the strike and with the mounting frustrations and, these existential issues that are plaguing our industry, even as a whole, not just the writers, but everyone's feeling this, is really a result of these conglomerates all getting bigger and bigger, but the industry at large getting smaller as a result. And the goals of these conglomerates are really focused on, the bottom lines. It's numbers. It's all about cash flow and how to minimize costs and to drive up profits and to make their investors and their stockholders happy. And for the network that I was on, and the show that I was part of, it meant, that something that, didn't make a ton of money for them, that cost a lot, relatively for the network. The show didn't have that large of a budget, but, I guess for that, what the network felt, or the new owners felt like it could sustain, it meant that, something had to go. And a lot of things went, and it was really sad, but it really ended this era of television, and this network was in a way sort of felt like a holdout for what was sort of happening across the industry. And it was this wonderful place where someone like me, who entered that network as a story editor, could rise to become a co-showrunner. And I got the education I needed because I had opportunities to go on set. We were still on a network schedule. We were, producing on set while also the room was running, while post was happening. We were all there together, which meant that all writers could go to set and be real producers and get that context and get that education to with time and with growth and with all these opportunities, become real leaders as writers. So that was one of the last places I feel like where that was happening consistently until these mergers happened and this buyout happened, and suddenly that was no longer a priority, and they've really completely changed the network now. It's almost unrecognizable from what it was.
Yeah, totally. We've seen so many changes, especially pertaining to streaming versus the network, and there have been many discussions on how writers' rooms have been affected. Yeah, there's been so much that's changed. What has it been like to see SAG-AFTRA join the strike effort, and how much do you think that's changing things right now?
I obviously can't speak to what this will change in the long run. I really can't project any sort of timeline, or, I'm not as involved as some other people, certainly some friends of mine who are deep in it. But I will just say from my perspective on the front lines, on the picket lines, is to say it's been, you know, a real bolstering to have these fresh faces coming in and their energy. You know, we're all out there and we are fighting and we are there consistently and we are putting in our hours and, you know, getting our steps in and, you know, doing all of that. But we've been doing it for 3 months. So to have this influx of people who are fresh-faced and ready to go and fired up, it's been great in terms of morale and really feeling that that surge of energy that, you know, again, we've all been steadfast soldiers in all of this. We've been there. But, you know, we're all tired. You know, I'm still going to be there until Christmas if need be. But it is hard. It is hard. It is mentally, mentally rough. It is physically exhausting. It is hot out there. But I will say, even before SAG came, like, just the fact that so many of us are out there and are so dedicated to this cause and to one another, like, really people just there for each other, has been a very inspiring experience for me to just feel so connected to all these other writers who, you know, I've met a bunch of people on the lines, but also I'm reconnecting with people I haven't seen in like a decade or people I worked with like 12 years ago who I absolutely adore and just haven't had time to connect. And just feeling that sense of community throughout all of this has been so awesome. And yeah, these fresh, beautiful faces coming from SAG has been great. But I will say, there were SAG was there before their strike. Like, that was wonderful. Like, to have so early on other guilds show up for us has only strengthened the resolve I think we're feeling across the guilds to make sure that we all get what we deserve in this fight and to help each other to bolster each other and to be there for one another through this really hard time.
100%. On your panel, to shift gears a bit, you talked about writing your truth or write what you know as it pertains to emotional truth. So in general, how do you think that's come across with some of the characters you've written?
Well, I'd say for characters I've written recently, it's, you know, the storytelling that we did on that show was really about emotional connection to people who you think are very different from you and then turn out to not be so different from you. That was really what we were doing pretty consistently on that show. that was, you know, we would take these characters who came from very different backgrounds, different timelines, and different cultures, different sexualities, different belief systems, and put them on this, you know, this spaceship and made them, you know, have to achieve these gargantuan, you know, goals together every week. And the real story behind all of that was, again, was finding people who didn't have a sense of community, didn't have a place in their world, or so they thought, you know, outsiders, misfits, you know, oddballs, who then found family and a sense of place in this, you know, in this, these close quarters. And for me, that comes directly from my life. I was a strange kid growing up. You know, I was, you know, I'm half Japanese. So I'm not quite Japanese, not quite white. You know, was a fangirl my whole life. I, you know, was always in love with comics and sci-fi and things, and didn't have a lot of friends who were really in that with me. Like, I was the one who was getting dressed up and standing outside the Montpelier Theater alone for movie premieres because no one else in my class really did that. Like, no one else in Vermont did that. But I thought, you know, okay, the new Star Wars is coming out. I'm going to dress up like Queen Amidala because I know that that's what some people do in big cities, but like in Vermont, no one did that. I literally stood out there for 3 hours in my Queen Amidala costume waiting for the theater to open. I was the only one out there. And here I am at Comic-Con with all these incredible nerds and all this incredible sense of community. And to me, like, the story of like a misfit finding their place in community is so resonant and so meaningful. And just so important. And I also, another thing that was weird about my childhood is that I spent a lot of time on the road. I was a traveling musician. I was a singer, and I was part of this group of total oddballs who would travel in a big painted hippie bus all around the country. Each night in a different location, we would put on a show, and then we would stay in people's homes, and then we would, you know, go to another location. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like, you know, we would make these wonderful personal connections with these people in these communities, you know, put on an incredible show for them and then leave and go somewhere else. And meanwhile, you know, growing very close to one another like a family. Yeah. Does that sound familiar? Because that is what we wrote.
It does sound familiar. So one last question. As a WGA member who's worked on so many really great things, you're out there on the picket lines, but at the same time, I presume you still want fans to enjoy what you and other creators have made. What's your message for fans on how they can support writers, support actors? And yeah, it's a hard question, but I still wanted to ask you this.
I think the best way to support us, I mean, I certainly think voicing your support on social media, I don't know how much that actually moves the dial, but it's nice for us to see and to feel it, even when we can't feel it directly. If you're not in LA and you can't come honk your horn, you know, honk your horn on social. I don't know what that means, but you know, that's certainly a way to do it. There are a number of funds set up, and my brain is a little mush, so I don't know exactly what all their names.
Entertainment Community Fund.
That is a wonderful way. If you can donate to funds like that to help crew members who are really struggling throughout all of this, who are, you know, these people who work their asses off when we're up and running, and who are, you know, who some of whom really do live hand to mouth and don't have, you know, a big pocket of cash saved up, you know, for a time like this. Yeah, it means so much to help provide some assistance in that regard. Whatever you can offer, I think that's a very meaningful way to help us, is to protect the most vulnerable in our ranks.
Absolutely co-sign. Kato Shimizu, thank you so, so much for speaking with But Why Though today, and union strong.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.